Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. You can find the Berkshire Edge, of course, online, theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But on a Wednesday morning, we can find the folks from the Berkshire Edge live on the radio. We say good morning to Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you.
Marcy sounds like she's in the background. Yes. Is she getting the coffee?
Marcy.
She's carrying. I've got 2 cups of coffee, so I'm ready for this.
You're ready. Two
will do.
It's just that Marcy sounds like she's on another
bringing
planet.
Bringing the toast.
Yes.
Yeah. No, is she there? No.
We cannot hear Marcy at all.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
now we can hear you.
There
we can hear
you. Oh, that's interesting. Different phone instrument. Oh, but I am here.
Amazing how that works, isn't it?
Amazing.
Who invented this, anyway?
Okay.
Giving new meaning to the Breakfast Club.
Well,
this is Don McNeil. Where's Don McNeil?
Don McNeil, he's no longer dancing around the table, unfortunately. He's under the dirt, as we say.
Do you remember that?
I remember Don McNeil, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yep.
Hey, the Great Barrington Select Board, they're considering taking over the Housatonic Waterworks.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, this company is not doing its job.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are still privately owned water companies. Most water companies, of course, have been become public property, and because it's in public interest. But in the little village of Housatonic, which is a village in just north of the center of Great Barrington, they have a private water company. And it's really run out of resources to upgrade and maintain its system. And then all kinds of complaints about rusty water and not enough pressure, more, and as dangerous is the fact that the hydrants don't have the pressure they need to should a fire occur for the fire trucks. So the Great Barrington Selectmen have finally decided that they've got to really seriously think about taking over this water company, which is owned by a guy named Jim Mercer, and his family's owned it for many, many, many years.
And the problem is that as a privately owned company, it's not eligible for the kind of public subsidies and support that it would be if it were owned by the town. So the while it's in private hands, it's never going to be able to modernize itself. And the water quality is just awful. I mean, we have pictures of a water filter that gets filled with residue overnight in a Housatonic residence. And this is disgusting. You know, it's you wouldn't want to go near this water. And even with a filter, you know, it's not clear that it's all coming out.
What's interesting about this is this has been the case here in Connecticut as well. Falls Village just went through this where they had a small water company, and it cannot meet. There's no way in God's name that it can meet everything that has to be done on the federal standards. So they were sold. I think Aquarian brought them, purchased them.
They're a big outfit that owns these formerly private water companies around. Yeah, but I mean, this is not a new issue. This has been going on for the last 10 or 15 years. Periodically, something will happen to the Housatonic water system, and then there'll be this talk about, well, you know, really, it needs to be part of the public system to be able to sustain itself. But we'll see how whether Jim Mercer can be forced to sell it, or whether the town will just have to take him with
eminent domain.
Take it by eminent domain.
Well, I would think that if he doesn't want to sell it, I would think that the eminent domain route would go, because there's no way in today's modern legalities that a small water company can legally do everything or financially do everything.
No, they can't. Right.
They might. You know, if he were some kind of billionaire, he might be able to do it. But he isn't. And the water company isn't either. So it's an interesting, the Housatonic Water Company, Waterworks, is a really a throwback to a much earlier time in which, the town water supplies were, in fact, privately owned.
Yeah, but it's not sustainable anymore.
Well, remember, the roads were turnpikes,
yeah,
which were privately owned, too.
Well, there's still one over in Dutchess County called the Shunpike, where
Shunpike. That's right.
But it's still. It's not a Shunpike, but it kept the name.
Have one in Egremont called Shuntoll Road.
You better tell people what a Shunpike
is. Yeah, another road that you could avoid the toll on 23.
Right.
Yeah, well, the Shunpike was, of course, named because it shunned the other roads. But people used to collect tolls on them and go from there onward. But really, the water company, that's something totally different. And I'm not necessarily in favor of big companies taking over. But when you can't afford to run something, and because you can't afford to run it, all of a sudden people's health comes into question. I just think there's no other answer.
Well, the issue too is there was a building that used to stand in the center of Housatonic. It was a great big old multi-story building that had a department store in it. Really, this was back in the day, and some apartments on the second and third floor. And it burned down. And the reason it did was that the hydrants from this Housatonic Waterworks had no pressure, and they couldn't put the fire out.
Well, there you go.
So that's the other issue, is that the system itself just needs a serious upgrade. And, it'll become part of the town water system.
Get all kinds of government subsidies, too,
right.
And it'll get cleaned up.
Yep.
Well, like I said, I'm not necessarily a big believer in big companies, but when it comes to these small water companies, it's impossible for them to keep up. It just is. It's not possible, and it's not good for the community.
Well, I think it's an issue of recognizing that there are certain things like water and roads that are really in the public interest. They're not. It's not a private, for-profit operation. It's a publicly owned resource, and that's how it should be maintained. But this is, as I say, this Housatonic Waterworks is just a throwback to an earlier time.
A time that no longer really functions.
quite
well. Well, we'll go from water to a good news story.
Right.
Oh, yeah. This is a story about a young guy named Charlie Seckler, I remember him growing up. I've known this kid for a long, long time.
He's still growing up.
he's still growing up. But he's devised a system he's now a college student at New York University, but he's grew up in Egremont, and my older boy went to school with him, so I do know who he is, and he has devised a system for restaurants to. Be able to for people to be able to order stuff online, and for local restaurants. And it's a system that will help restaurants survive this COVID-19 pandemic, in which people, you know, can't go to the restaurants themselves. He's devised something called Flow Code that allows people to quickly order out from restaurants from Lenox to South Egremont and everywhere in between. So this is quite entrepreneurial, and I must say that he's in a way wheelchair bound. The boy, Charlie, is because he has Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. So this hasn't stopped him from being quite ingenious. It's a good story.
Yeah. It's an app that allows people to use their cell phones to do touchless ordering at restaurants for pickup.
Yep.
And now he has plans to expand the concept to the New York City subway system. So stay tuned. This kid is on the move.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go from the New York City subway system to the Railroad Street Youth Project.
Yeah,
how about
that
for a second?
That's a perfect segue.
Right.
Well, we have a gorgeous mural in downtown Great Barrington that was created by the Railroad Street Youth Project, and it celebrates the Black Lives Matter movement. And it's hard to describe. So you really have to go to the Berkshire Edge and see the picture. And that, of course, is theberkshireedge.com.
That's right.
But the picture, I mean, these kids have done an amazing job. And it's, there's a lovely young woman who has headed the whole thing, who's a sophomore at Skidmore and who grew up here.
Right. But this is one of several murals that celebrating W.E.B. Du Bois and the black community that has been, that Railroad Street has put up on walls and in the tunnel that goes under the railroad line in the center of Great Barrington. So it's artistic and
cheerful
and uplifting. And I remember they once did the parking lot, the main parking lot in town. One of the big walls that faces that's on Car Hardware. That's a Car Hardware store. And they painted a huge mural there too. So this is just a wonderful project that they've continued to do for many years actually. And they have a new one that celebrates Black Lives Matter. And
come to Great Barrington and see it. It's hard to describe.
What's interesting about these murals is, I don't know if you heard about, years ago in Rhinebeck, there was a mural painted on the side of a building, and it was actually a tourist attraction. And with all the latest coming of age and people awakening to Black Lives Matter and everything, they found out that it was, in fact, there are portions of it that were racist. And so the owner of the building had it covered over. So, you know, it's interesting. The murals that are being put up nowadays are totally different than murals that went on the side of buildings.
But, of course, murals at that point reflected the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then you have to have that. You don't have to, but there's the whole art. There's the whole art discussion.
Yeah. And where was this one that you were talking about?
Rhinebeck, New York.
It was the corner. Wasn't it on the corner of a building?
Yeah. And it had been there for years and had been replenished and everything, but...
And it was well-loved, but it was unfortunately deemed... It was deemed unacceptable.
Yeah.
We are seeing things with new eyes. I don't know how many times I walk past that statue on Central Park West in front of the Museum of Natural History with Teddy Roosevelt sitting on his horse. And I loved that statue, and I never noticed he had these,
he had
an African American and a Native American standing down below him, as if he subjugated individuals.
But tell me that horse wasn't a magnificent looking
piece
of art.
And suddenly, with my new eyes, I see, oh, no, of course. That statue can't stay.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll put a statue up there of
maybe they can just put the horse
Rudy
back.
Giuliani.
They can put Teddy Roosevelt down below the horse.
Rudy Giuliani on the back of Donald Trump there. That's just a joke, folks. Now don't get mad at me there. All right.
Don't go there.
All right. Now let's get to Tanglewood because tomorrow we are recording this, of course, on a Wednesday, but Thursday at Tanglewood, their online gala.
Mm. Yep, that's what they have to do. And they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of violinist Isaac Stern's birth. And that's and it's going to be hosted by Yo-Yo Ma, cellist Yo-Yo Ma, and pianist Emmanuel Axe. And it's Tanglewood being it's going to be a virtual gala. so what they've been able to come up with in this this odd summer where people cannot be at Tanglewood in the shed enjoying music under the stars.
I also want to add, another not shameless promotion, but speaking of Isaac Stern, I am the chair of the board of Close Encounters with Music, which I have mentioned before. And Close Encounters with Music is, in partnership with the Mahawi, is doing a virtual concert on Sunday afternoon at 5:30 of Yehuda Hanani on the violin and Elliot Fisk
on the cello.
Right. Yehuda Hanani on the cello and Elliot Fisk on guitar. They've played together many times, and they're wonderful. And it will be all online and free on YouTube. And it was Isaac Stern who discovered Yehuda Hanani in Israel. he was in Israel, and he discovered this young cellist and brought him to the U.S. And brought him to Juilliard. And so, one of the distinguished cellists in the Berkshires was also discovered by Isaac Stern, but I don't think that he's participating because Close Encounters is having its own summer festival this week, also all on YouTube.
It's
called the Berkshire High Peaks Festival, and you can also find the schedule for that online.
It's interesting because you've got that going on, and a lot, and now we're in mid to late summer, actually, and like the Falcon Ridge Folk Festival is virtual this year, and online, and also Weekend in Norfolk has gone.
Yes, I heard about that, and I think we wrote about it.
We
actually have it on the edge too.
So we have all these organizations that are no longer scrambling. They're planning things, and hopefully those things that they're planning, of course, it's not going to make up the full boatload of money that has been lost, but it's a starting point. It's a starting point for people to be aware. If you want this organization to survive, you're going to have to dig deep.
At least these venues and theaters and concert halls are not going to be dark all summer. I'm wondering, it's going to be interesting to see how they survive, actually.
Yeah, right.
Because they really depend on, the summer season is when they are really, really
that's
important.
That's
for so many organizations, not just the cultural organizations, but actually the shops and stores and everyone else.
Yeah,
the whole economy here depends on it.
So this is a perfect time.
By the way, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but there are actually two outdoor movie festivals going on. The Mahaley is showing movies on Friday and Saturday and maybe Sunday night, but certainly Friday and Saturday, and the parking lot of Simon's Rock College.
And then there'll be BIFF, right?
The Berkshire International Film Festival is showing movies in the parking lot of Shakespeare and Company. So these are two quickly established drive-in movie theaters, big screens, and you listen to the sound on a radio frequency, which you can either do if your car, you know, by leaving the radio on in your car, or bringing a a charged portable radio, and then they each have people to jump your battery in case. If you're listening on your car radio and you lose juice, they each have somebody who comes and jumps your battery so that you can listen to the rest of the movie and drive home.
Well, you know, the Sharon Playhouse has done the same thing. They built an outdoor stage, and they've had a couple of shows already on the outdoor stage. And I do believe they have one coming up also this weekend where people drive in. It's coming up on Saturday, August the 1st, Music and Lyrics, Berlin and Herman, and people drive up in cars, and there's an outdoor stage, same thing, and it's not per ticket, it's per car, and they have room for 53 cars, and it's a way to give something back to the community, also make a little bit of money for the nonprofit at the same time. Ankrum Opera House is doing the same thing with their virtual theater. Which is going on weekends as well.
And what I wanted to say.
Well, Barrington Stage in Pittsfield is actually opening and having live performances.
Right, they got special
audiences who are all seated quite a bit apart.
And they got special dispensation from Actors Equity.
Don't know. I really don't know.
They did.
I don't know what the arrangement is, but I know that. They are beginning to, today we are running an ad for them. They're starting, I forget when, early August. They have two things that are going to be running at Barrington Stage. So they're trying this, and they're selling tickets, too.
All right, now let's go on to our furry friends and then bear sightings. Of course, anybody who looks at my Facebook page knows that at least twice a week I have bears that cross my lawn, and when they're heading into town to feast on garbage on Thursday mornings. But bear sightings all through the area up, and I have to tell people, you got to learn to live with the bears. The bears were here first, really.
Right.
We have a story, a rather amusing story, done by David Edwards, who usually writes about music and Tanglewood and so on. But in his backyard, over in Canaan, New York, he's quite a good photographer. He found a bear eating the grape jelly and from his Baltimore Oriole feeder, and he has these wonderful pictures of this bear slurping the jelly from his bird feeder. So it's quite an amusing story, and he points out that there's been an unusual number there was a report in the Albany Times Union. An uptick, he says, in the number of bear sightings, and that maybe because people are they don't know quite why, but we know that chipmunk numbers are just way up. We've been inundated with chipmunks and squirrels.
Oh, we've been under attack. Actually,
yes, they've been eating through our screens.
We have. Yes, it's.
All right. Well, we have from squirrels. We have one more. We have room for one more story. So you guys get to pick the one that you want to talk about.
Oh dear. We do have. We mentioned that we have an Edgecast. I'll just mention both of them quickly. We have an Edgecast with an interview with State Senator Ben Downing, or former State Senator Ben Downing, delivering a really impassioned address to Sheffield Democrats. And the last story that we should mention is we have an article on where to find local food and farms that's in our Berkshire Edge magazine.
And we do have an online magazine now.
Yes,
you know,
this
is an
online magazine.
We were printing a print magazine, which we had to suspend during the pandemic because our magazine is all about places to go and things to do, and we couldn't get a handle on anybody's schedule. And since we distribute it free in high-traffic locations all around the tri-state area, there were no high-traffic locations to distribute to. So
we put it online.
So we have created an online magazine, which has the same kinds of articles, and we will be publishing a whole bunch of new articles next week, the beginning of August. So this is a new source of information, and one of our articles is, you know, we have the whole Berkshire-grown annual brochure on where to buy food and where the farmers' markets are and what their hours of operation are. So it's quite complete, but we also have a guide to all kinds of trails and local restaurateurs giving us their favorite recipes, which you can make at home. So it's you just go to the Berkshire Edge and go to the scroll down until you see the magazine.
All right. We will speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
A safe week.
Be safe.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.